Good evening, everybody. This is Frank of the Quite Frankly podcast. And I sound really calm right now because I still am calm. I haven't done the show yet. But it's going to be a good night tonight, and I want to get all my thank yous out of the way because they should be done first and foremost because, man, oh, man, so many people now are contributing to this show that are making it possible every night, and really, it's been a pleasure. So I want to thank you guys and talk about what we're going to be speaking a little bit about tonight, which is going to be like an atomic bomb at times, I think. Just by the way I was feeling today, I might get on the air and feel a little bit more, I don't know, calm and collected. Sometimes that happens. In either case, thank you so much to Michael Wells, Nikki Solis, Andrew Dame, Laura Veris, Matt Smith, Mr. Sean Collins, Christian Peppas of the Amatory Murder, Max Ancaparato, Mr. Starman, Starman Cometh, Mad Mince, Jackie Milam, Jenny Lee, Stephanie Klinaki of StephanieKBeauty.com. Check her out on Instagram, and if you're ever in the tri-state area, make her turn you into a goddess or a god, whatever it is, whatever the occasion may be, whatever your mood for the day is. Stephanie K Beauty. That's with a Stephanie Beauty. And of course, Matt DeFabio, the founder of the 1984 sponsorship. And then right with him, Mr. Brad, My Brain on Me, that's his Tumblr. Brad, thank you so much for matching, Matt, 1984. Of course, I was born in 1985 when Doc Brown tested the time machine successfully. So it was a very monumental year, 1985, especially since in real life we got past 1984 without any Orwellian incident. But thank you so much, guys and gals. If you like the show, please share it with everybody and everybody, friends, family, foes, whatever the hell they are. iTunes, if you go on iTunes and just like it, give it some stars, give it a review. I really love reading the reviews, and it really does help out. If you don't have a couple of dollars to pledge to the Patreon every month, it really helps out immensely just to help me get some clicks on that iTunes. Because the more people that touch that, the more people who aren't us see it in the public eye. That's amazing. The public sphere? Oh, my God. Who could deny that? How cozy, you know, just getting out to people. So, aside from that, guys, thank you so much. Tonight's show, it's just a mishmash of what's going on in the world right now. Media collusion, what's going on as we drip away to only like we're about a month away, almost 30 days away from the November 8th election, which I just can't wait. It's over, because once it's over, then I'm just going to start reading fiction again. There'll be more truth in what we're seeing in reality right now. So after that, it's just whatever. Got to clean the pipes, if you know what I mean. But we're going to get around to that tonight. I don't want to take anything away from you, because usually I don't know where things go. I don't know where things are going to end up. None of us do. But thank you to those who are supporting the show. And please, I would love to be able to read your name on that list as well. Head to patreon.com/quitefrankly and check out any of the amazing... I'm very proud of those packages up there. Perks and rewards for people who enjoy the show and want to see it keep going with courage. All right. Have a good night, everybody, and enjoy the upcoming episode of the Quite Frankly podcast.
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Let's ride!
I'm not afraid to fall.
Good evening, everybody. 7.01 p.m. on the East Coast. It's Monday night. Monday night, creeping along through the beginning of October now. Now it's October 3rd. And happy to have it back. The weather's been nice. Feels good and cozy. Everything else is a mess. But the weather is appropriate. Everything else is just a mess. And I did it. I went and did it. I checked my news feed for the first time in weeks on Facebook. And now I want to, as my father would say, run down Boston Post Road screaming, holding a pig under my arm. That's how insane I am right now. That's just how it's just like, oh my God, why did I do it? Why did I lift up the rock? Why did I lift up the rock and peer underneath to see what was going on? All the shit I knew it was probably happening. Why did I do it? In about 60 seconds time, I had fantasies. I was starting to drum up fantasies of shaking both friends and parents of friends as if I were an angry British nanny. Okay, I felt this itch in my brain that I couldn't get to because the itch that needed to be scratched was really just tens of millions of people who needed to be shook to death. Shaken to death. That's exactly what it was in 60 seconds. I don't know how many people and their parents I looked around and said, I want to shake this motherfucker to death. I want to shake them. Oh my God. And just to hear what people did. There's very few ways that you can get across to people that you're not defending Donald Trump and that you're not a fan of Donald Trump. He's being compared to Beelzebub. Okay? He's running against Beelzebub. Oh my God, he didn't pay taxes, says the people who don't pay taxes. I pay taxes, say some other people who think it's terrible that Trump didn't pay his taxes. And they make their phony patriotic duty arguments, even though they hate the country and they hate patriots. You know, and it's amazing to see, too, with all this tax stuff, that's just it's just a diversion because it's really of no consequence. You know, everybody says, oh, well, in 1995, Donald Trump posted $900 million worth of losses? Do you really want somebody who had a bad year in business to run your country? As opposed to someone who spent decades in public service and managed to make hundreds of millions of dollars somehow. Think about that. Someone in public service managed to make hundreds of millions of dollars. And during her time overseeing the Department of State, was there for a $6 billion loss in state contracts and all that. So you want to talk about losses? Yeah, Donald Trump almost lost $1 billion in the mid-90s. Hillary lost six times that in recent years. Only thing is that Hillary was dealing with public money. She was dealing with public office. Donald Trump was rolling the dice, building business, and creating jobs. Frank, you sound like a Trump fan, though. I'm not. Just a fucking realist. You put him up against the devil, and what do you want me to say? That he's worse than the devil? Because the devil told you so? They don't care about the countless women who were used and discarded by the Clintons. Nobody cares. Don't care. Doesn't matter because he called some trampy fucking Miss Universe winner. Miss Piggy? Called her mean words? Oh my God. And she was so coached. So coached. So coached. If you think that this was just a way, oh my God. We just dug this. Can you imagine? She has been, she has probably been coached on this since April. Okay? If you think that anything that happens in the month of October 2016 leading up to this election is by happenstance, once again, we're just not watching the same stuff unfold. We're not part of the same reality. We're on different planes. It's just like multiverse theory everywhere. So, you know, I was in the shower too. I think it was Saturday. I got home from my workout on Saturday, and let me tell you something. I got destroyed on Saturday. I gotta get Rob back on the show, dude. My left arm just destroyed. My forearm is just starting to come back. It's unbelievable the type of beating it took. But in either case, after that great workout of just having my left arm beat up, I'm in the shower. I'm just contemplating things. I'm working through the pain. And the problem I feel is that we are living in a world that resembles 1773 more than any other time after the War of Independence. We only know taxation right now. We only know theft right now. We only know oppression right now. Okay? We only know censorship. We only know self-censorship. We only know this type of shit. That's what we're living in. We're marinating in it right now. How the hell could anyone be inspired or by anything that's going on right now or feel hopeful about things? Just like in 1773, leading up to the first shots in 1775 at Lexington and Concord, how can anybody feel hopeful or happy about what's going on when all of the petitions to the king were just ignored, trampled over, new taxes laid, new regulations, this and that? You're not going to get anything. It devolves into monarchy. And then you start thinking, there's only rage now, and there's only malcontent, because nobody feels pride because the revolution or the restoration hasn't happened yet. Who could feel pride in what we have and where it started out from, knowing where it started from, even though the powers that be are trying to tell people different versions of where it started from and why we were wrong and why we were flawed and why we were evil to begin with. And not that we were twisted into something that was the antithesis of progress, even though the people who are running the country into the ground in this managed decline call themselves the party and the movement of progress. It is the greatest mindfuck. It is gaslighting to the very end. You're being gaslighted to the very end, people. This is one scary 1773, I'll tell you that. But even then, you know, what do we have to look forward to? What do we have to look forward to? If you say, okay, well, then maybe all we need is just the revolution. For what, you want to... we got to fight another war here at home? And what's waiting for us at the other end of that war? Do we have a meeting of a Continental Congress somewhere? We have philosophers running around the country right now. Are we talking about freedom? Or are we talking about political correctness and national suicide? What's the conversation? What is the national conversation right now? Are we talking about freedom and liberty of the individual and true liberalism? Or are we talking about political correctness, taxation, and national suicide? If it weren't for Hillary Clinton stealing the election, we would have stealing the primary election, we would have had an avowed socialist running on a Democratic ticket. One that I would have to say that I wish was still in the running. Okay? We went in wrist deep on Bernie Sanders. But let's be honest. The guy spoke frankly, and he was so out of his mind in the direction he wanted to take the country that you could rest assured, even though he should have probably beaten Hillary Clinton, if he were to go up against anybody in the election, and let's say he won the presidency,
he would have never gotten anything done with what he was espousing. And you might have at least had some time. You might have at least had access to him to talk. He's not a gangster like Hillary Clinton is. And she's so confident in what's going on. I'm telling you, the election's going to be stolen. It's going to be stolen. She already stole one. It's going to be stolen. She has this whole gaslighting campaign that's being run by the surrogates in the media that are covering for her in the media right now. Every day, on this state, that state, the national lead, her lead is expanding by 6 to 11 points in these key battleground states and the national polls all over the place. She's opening up 6-point leads, 11-point leads, this and that. Meanwhile, every time her camp releases the latest photo op of her at some poorly attended rally in a high school gymnasium, whereas Donald Trump is selling out arenas. It makes no sense. To be told one thing and see another, it makes no sense. But it's just, I really do believe it's there to soften the psychological blow whenever she comes out on top, whenever all of our dead grandparents and great parents vote for her. I really do believe that that's what it is. Because the media, we already know, is gone. It's gone. The WikiLeaks, the DNC leaks, they showed that before. It showed it, confirmed, it's dead. There is no free press. And let me be very clear. I don't like right-wing press. I don't like any of this stuff, for the most part. Any of it. You know, what we're looking at right now is people are making jabs at one another, and there is no talking. If there was talking, if there was some kind of a back and forth, then there might have been some kind of a way for somebody to make a point there. But you see, this is not about freedom of the individual. You have one side that is actually both sides. They're clamoring for the vote of dependent people. Clamoring for it. And it's really, really, really killing things. It's killing a lot. It's really, I don't know what to say anymore. Can't. Oh, not a care in the world. Can't. Whatever the hell's, whatever the upcoming WikiLeak is, that supposedly Julian Assange has to wait until a couple of days. He couldn't do his balcony announcement because of security concerns. Supposedly he has something really damning that's coming out within the next couple of days. I don't even care what it is. I mean, when it comes out, we'll talk about it, and we'll acknowledge it, and I'll say, hey, well, just one more reason, as if we didn't need anything else except the DNC leak. As if we didn't need anything but her email leaks. If we didn't need any other reason. There's nothing that could hurt this woman, and there's nothing that could convince her voting base otherwise. There's nothing. Absolutely nothing. So you tell me where it's going to go. We've lost. We've lost integrity. We've lost reason and sensibility. We've lost all of those things. So even though it might be earth-shattering, this new WikiLeak, nothing is going to happen. Remember that. You're dealing with a bunch of freakish people. Freakish people. So as I said today before, I said I guess one of the perks of a Clinton presidency is that whereas there will be more violence in the streets and refugee culture clashes, that'll definitely happen, and economic collapse, there will not be a single George Bush in sight who can be blamed for what is about to continue to happen to us. Okay. If you're Barack Obama, you're skating on thin ice by blaming George Bush in year 6 of your 8 years in office. But now that 8 years is coming down to a close, there's absolutely nothing. If you were able to do anything, you'd be able to clean up the mess of 8 years of Bush, right? Even though the real economic damage was done in the Clinton administration when Glass-Steagall was repealed. That created the environment in which all these banksters were able to blow up this the housing bubble. So, you tell me. Tell me what could be done and undone in 4 to 8 years. But in this case, if Hillary Clinton wins, it'll be 12 years. And at the end of 12 years, when she's going for her... Well, if she's still alive. I mean, they'll probably have suited her with full-on animatronics by then. And some kind of an HD soundboard. So that the Wizard of Oz behind the green curtain can still control her voice. If anything like that happens, believe me, when they add her to the Hall of Presidents in Disney, it'll actually be her. And the news coverage will be like, oh, she gets up every day and she announces her part. She says her parts in the Hall of Presidents. And, you know, she's a woman. She just powers through. She powers through death. She powered through death. And now here she is. She came back after 3 days to save us. That's it. That's what'll happen. Oh my God! And you know what? Let me end this little rant with a quote that's been attributed to a few people in history, but it just doesn't matter. Just take this one in. A democracy cannot exist as a permanent form of government. It can only exist until the majority discovers it can vote itself largesse out of the public treasury. After that, the majority always votes for the candidate promising the most benefits, with the result, democracy collapsing because of the loose fiscal policy ensuing. Always to be followed by a dictatorship and then by a monarchy. That's it. So everybody who calls this a democracy, first of all, we're not living in a democracy. That is a terrible, terrible farce. And if you call this a democracy, you're just a very, very sad person. Very sad person. Can't get through to you anymore. I had a lot of frustrating back and forth on Twitter over the weekend. I was even going back and forth with that comedian Christopher Titus, who is just a lemming. What's that? He is a terribly misguided person, no matter what the hell he thinks about himself. Okay, I can see that he's a decent guy. I saw his spot on Steven Crowder. He was made to look like a fucking fool on Louder with Crowder. He was made to look like a stuttering, stammering, have no place to run fool. He's the type of person that you show him some kind of piece of history, you show him some kind of... you show him any kind of rebuttal that is solid, and instead of coming back at you with anything, he goes, ugh. He does the whole sigh, like, oh my God, he used facts. He used facts. Oh my God, he used facts. And then when you use a fact, he goes, listen, I'm going to say it one more time. Give me one real reason why so-and-so is so-and-so, or such-and-such is not such-and-such. It's so weak. But that's just what it comes down to. I hope another buddy of mine, Sebastian, calls in. Sebastian used to do a radio show on our network years ago in the old studio. And he used to be a Ron Paul supporter. And now he's one of those people who gushes over Trump, and he's already committed two strikes against me by calling me first a fool, and just today, clueless. Oh, I'm clueless. Clueless. So I hope he calls in. Want to ask him some questions. And then, of course, I also blew up on somebody on Facebook, too. If you go on
that one.
Yeah, no,
that
I...
same guy. I was going to comment, but I'm like, let me not. Nah, I don't just, want to disaggle
no,
back
no, let me have him.
This guy.
Just let me have him. Because I don't care anymore. Now I don't care. What did I say? I put out that comment about Hillary Clinton. She's not going to have any George Bush to fall back on. And he pops up and goes, right, because Bush was innocent and didn't cause any problems. And then I'm just going to read this to you because I think it was a lot of fun for me because I totally did not care.
I could tell. I'm like, oh, wow.
I did not care. I don't care anymore. This is one of those people who has been showing up to this group on Facebook
I've
in particular.
I've noticed that guy a bunch of times.
At least for 2 years now, he's been showing up. And he just plays this contrarian role, but a one-sided contrarian role, where if we're bashing on Republicans, if we're showing people why Donald Trump is not an ideal candidate when there were still 16 people on the stage to choose from, when you still had the likes of Rand Paul there, when we're really just being honest about things the entire way, and just trying to be even keel. Now, obviously, there's only so far you can be even keel when your depiction of freedom is being able to live your life the way you want, and somebody else's depiction of freedom is to have your liberties limited so you don't offend anybody else with either your success or being able to put a price tag on something that you conceived. A service, a product, a company, anything like that. People get very upset about the whole idea about intellectual property because, you know, they didn't have the idea first, and even though they didn't have the idea, they like the idea, and they shouldn't have to pay for it. They shouldn't have to pay for it. So here comes Eric. He said, right, because Bush was innocent and didn't cause any problems. What did I say? I said, Eric, you pop up like an obnoxious gopher whenever someone lays down criticism on some leftist monster, just to remind us all that the neocons and the Bushes were naughty as well. The Bushes have been rejected. Jeb Bush was even rejected by his own fucking mother, okay? The Bushes have been rejected. They aren't on the ballot, and they haven't sniffed office since January 2009. You're going to have to let go sometime. And he goes, I let go a long time ago, but you people keep bringing it back up. And I just said, easy does it, just let it go. And he said, call me derogatory names and say easy does it? LOL. I guess but then again, for these hypersensitive asshats to be called an obnoxious gopher in the way that, you know, in the way that you respond, the way that you respond to discourse around the internet, where you just kind of lay low until somebody says something critical of somebody on the far left, then you pop up to be the voice of reason? And I call you a gopher? And it's a derogatory name? I picture this guy chopping wood outside of a, but it's not like in the woods. He looks like the type of guy that would live in the woods that's like right behind a grocery store. Like, he's not deep in the woods. He just lives in the just deep enough into the woods so that you can't see his tent that he's set up, so that whenever the grocery store throws out 3-day-old lettuce, he can go into the dumpster and pick it out. Here's something that's interesting. CBS Local, Pittsburgh. 7% of voters have lost friends over the 2016 presidential race. Well, I think that they're...
New at 5, this is a highly contentious election, and emotions are running high. And there's a good chance you know someone who posts their political beliefs online.
Yeah, and there's also a good chance that not everyone's feeling those posts. And now a new study says it could cost you. Here's Dave Crawley to explain.
Here's Dave Crawley to explain how if you say something people don't like, they might not want to see you.
We're going to bring people on to talk about how in this crazy hyper-politicized, low-information environment that we live in, if you put something up there that other people have been trained to have hateful, visceral reactions to, you're going to lose friends. And some people might cross the street rather than walk by you on the sidewalk when you go to the farmer's market on the weekend. There's something else real quick. This Hillary Clinton wanting to drone bomb Julian Assange. Why can't we just drone him? That's pretty big. You want to talk, especially for all the people out there who say, oh my God, Donald Trump, you know what kind of wars he's going to lead us to? Here's a woman who's just like, can we just drop a bomb on that guy? Can we drop a bomb on that guy? Let's just drone him. There's your Hillary Clinton. You're going to get war, baby. You're going to get war. Oh, voters have lost friends. We did that.
Let's see what else here. Pentagon, this is huge. Breaking, Pentagon caught paying a public relations firm $540 million to make fake terrorist videos. Records reveal that the operation involving the PR firm could cost well over $100 million each year. According to a new joint investigation by the Sunday Times and the Bureau of Investigative Journalism, the Pentagon paid a PR firm based in the UK over $500 million to make fake terrorist videos in Iraq as a part of an enormous propaganda campaign. PR firm Bell Pottinger fabricated short TV segments designed to imitate Arabic news networks' fake insurgent videos, which could be used to track people who watch them, according to a former employee. To track people who watch them. High-ranking U.S. military officials work with the firm's employees at Baghdad Camp Victory to create anti-terrorism propaganda to imitate the real thing, the Bureau claims. Besides the Pentagon, Bell Pottinger's list of clientele reads like the who's who of unsavory characters. Chilean dictator Augusto Pinochet's foundation, Margaret Thatcher, and the government of Saudi Arabia, for example. Bell Pottinger's former chairman, Lord Tim Bell, reportedly confirmed to the Times, collaborated on a covert military operation covered by various secrecy agencies, and reported to the CIA, the Pentagon, and the National Security Council. I wonder how many of the Bin Laden videos were faked too, because I mean that was just. He was gaining weight, he was shorter, he was bigger, his beard was gray, his beard was black, he looked different, his face is long, his face is fat. It's just, I mean, all told, the Bureau, quote, identified transactions worth $540 million between the Pentagon and Bell Pottinger for information operations and psychological operations on a series of contracts issued from May 2007 to December 2011. Martin Wells discussed his unusual job with the Bureau in an interview, saying he had no idea what the job was about when he came on board in 2006. Quote, you'll be doing new stuff that'll be coming out of the Middle East, the video editor was told by his agent. Quote, I thought, that sounds interesting, Wells recalled. So I go along and got into this building and got escorted up to the sixth floor in a lift. Come out and there's guards up there. I thought, what on earth is going on here? And it turns out it was a Navy post, basically. So from what I could work out, it was a media intelligence gathering unit. But what they were really doing was creating media. God damn. You see the cycle of tyranny? It's going to come crashing down. The only thing I wish that I had been able to do was save a little bit more money. The one thing I'm trying to do in a dead scramble, I'm going to tell everybody again, as Christmas comes up, nobody's getting a thing from me. You're getting a handshake, a Merry Christmas, maybe a text message with one of those new emojis. You'll get a text message on Christmas with an emoji from me. It'll be full with love. You guys can come by on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. We'll play Cards Against Humanity. We'll brew a pot of coffee. You can have a drink. I have plenty of liquor at the house. We can do all of that, whatever you want. But we're not going to be exchanging gifts. And in fact, I would tell all the kids at home, forget about gifts this year. We have very, very few years left. Very few left. This is going to get a lot worse. Hillary Clinton is not going to make it better. It's not going to happen. So maybe save some money. Do some really heartfelt things. Make a gift for somebody. Make a card, make some kind of a craft, go to Michael's, get some glitter and some popsicle sticks and some Elmer's glue, and make a nice picture frame for somebody with the popsicle sticks and the Elmer's glue and the glitter, like in third grade. Do that. Maybe a macaroni necklace. Do something like that. You can get some Baroli. What was it? Borelli? Bartoli?
Pasta Baroli? Boboli?
That Boboli? No, that was the pizza. Yeah, that's it.
That's it. Save your money. Pay off your debt. Do not incur any more debt this Christmas. Don't do it. Please don't do it. Just try to find a way to get yourself out. It's the best thing you can do for yourself. If you can't save, at least destroy your debt. Destroy it. Don't add to it. Don't add to it. Unbelievable. What else do I have here? You know, where the hell is it? There you go. Over the weekend, actually, it was just yesterday, I was watching some of the football games, and of course, when you take a look at all the advertising that happens during your favorite television programming, and you'll learn a lot about your demographic. For example, on Football Sunday, Viagra commercials, all over the place. Okay, but that's not the epicenter of the Viagra commercials. The golf channel is every other commercial is Viagra. Just like every other commercial when you're home sick from school and you watch Jerry Springer in the morning and then the Steve What's-His-Name show and Maury Povich and all these people. Every commercial is online college and ambulance chaser lawyers. They know everything about you. They know that you're dropouts staying at home. They know that you might be home with an injury and somebody else wants to go out there and make you a couple thousand dollars. So take a look at it. But I was watching these Viagra commercials, and they always have these hot women that look like they're in their mid-40s now. Because remember, the commercials used to be like, you know, older women, salt and pepper hair, you know, really grizzled kind of look. They were older, probably like in the 50s, closer to 60. But they still had that mischievous eye. You know, like, I still like getting fucked. You know, that kind of thing. Well, now it's like these Viagra commercials are... We're seeing women in their late 30s, early 40s, and these guys that look like Drake walking around with them. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with this guy's dick? How come that guy can't get a boner?
Cocaine.
You know, so I'm looking at all this shit. I'm thinking to myself, what the hell is going on? But here's the thing that really gets me. They always walk around in these commercials. They walk around in these vacation-like places, like either a beach or somewhere else. They're outside of a hotel. It's very sunny. There's lots of whites and blues, and they're usually wearing some kind of a sundress that's very flowy and free. Everything looks very nice and calming, okay? And they always have those faces on, like, you know what we're into. We like having
sex.
Yeah, we might be out in public right now, but we're gonna fuck each other soon. You know? And they're promoting these Viagra singles. Like, they have these single pack Viagras, you know, where you can just you like slip it in your you have it in a pocket or something like that. You just pop it in real quick and all of a sudden you have a boner. But almost everyone is into sex, so why isn't everyone in the commercial horny and smirking in these sneaky little ways? But then I started realizing, you know, maybe it's because that they know everybody in the background of the commercial probably knows that they're not going to have sex, and they have nothing to look forward to. But that's okay, because when the sex robots are subsidized by federal money and designated as health care, then everybody's going to walk around like the Viagra people. You know, I just can't wait to go home and ravage my life-sized replica of Gina Gershon from 1997. I can't wait. Who never tells me no. Can you imagine that? That's it. Everybody's going to be walking around looking like the Viagra couple once they have their sex robots at home that look like Gina Gershon from 1997. Who never tells them no.
That's who would get you would get your robot.
Oh,
to look
my
like?
Dude. You know what I would do? To have an hour and a half with Gina Gershon from 1997 and have her want it.
No, I mean, if you're going to get a sex robot.
Oh, yeah.
Just hypothetically, that's who you would get it.
If it looked like Gina Gershon, it didn't look like a robot that was eerily similar to Gina Gershon, which is all these robots are going to be.
Nah, it'll be state-of-the-art, bro.
State-of-the-art? They're still going to move like a robot?
No, it won't. I'm just saying hypothetically. Like, you know, but you would have to, like, change the battery. That's the only way you'd know it was a robot.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that's what's going on, Matt. Maybe that's what's really happening. So I guess, I don't know. The key is everyone has to have sex. Whoever isn't having sex is plotting against the world to try to take things away from people. I mean, think about Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton has spent the last 45 years being cheated on. I mean, you have this new...
But she's... She was involved in...
I'm sure.
You didn't watch that documentary?
No, I didn't watch any documentary.
Dude, she's involved in, like, group orgies and lesbians and shit like that. And
you know who told me about that?
She picks girls out and, like, forces them to, like, touch her bathroom parts and let her touch their bathroom parts.
Mercy. God have mercy.
Who tells you that, though? But it's true.
I was talking to Rob about it. When Rob and I were working out still at the old studio, it was, like, on a Saturday... I don't know what the hell it was called. He was telling me about a book in which this one woman who's grown up, obviously, is recalling all of the like, almost like the ritualistic type of sex situations she was being put in by very well-known people.
Oh, yeah.
Including Hillary Clinton, who liked getting her carpet munched.
Yeah, Bill was, he was quite the scoundrel, too, as far as that. They raped a bunch of people, those two. Allegedly.
But listen, they're not as bad as Donald Trump, though. Donald Trump called a Miss Universe who put
Donald
on 70
Trump
pounds Miss Piggy.
A bad guy.
But he called a girl Miss Piggy.
So what?
You can't tell me that raping somebody and covering up and discarding people and invalidating rape victims and all that, you can't tell me that that is worse than calling a girl Miss Piggy.
Fuck that, Miss Piggy. Look at her as a person. She fucking had a baby from a kingpin of a drug cartel.
But dude, Donald Trump lost a lot of money in 1995, and he didn't pay taxes for years afterwards because of all
those illegal loopholes.
Oh, man.
That he's using, that the government put there.
Oh, God.
And loopholes
but he
that
lost
the Clinton
so much
Foundation
person.
Probably uses to not pay taxes.
Gina Gershon is 54,
damn.
Bobby G says.
Holy Christ.
She was still so hot even when 96. She was making those cameo appearances in Curb Your Enthusiasm. Let me see. Gina Gershon, 2016. Where is she?
She's still.
Gina Gershon, 2016.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you just tell me what you want me to do. Just tell me what you want me to do. Lauren will definitely sign off on it. This is Gina Gershon. I'm with Lauren. This is Gina Gershon. Okay. Yep. I would love to watch her just, you know, okay, you know what? I don't have to have sex with her. Just let me watch her do some gardening. Let me just give me a lawn chair and an iced tea and a pair of mirrored sunglasses and just let me watch her garden. She doesn't even have to, you know, she can wear like, you know, one of those, you know, those blousy type of shorts.
You wear like those cut off jean shorts.
She can wear that.
Yeah, so, you know,
but I like those loose type of boxer shorts type of things. You know, girls have those kind of like parachute-y type of shorts now.
Oh, you mean the bloomers?
They're
all, they called bloomers or
almost,
something like
but
that?
But they don't they come down to just like the upper thigh, but they're kind of loose and silky looking. I like that because they almost have a sundress type of feel, even though they're shorts. And the best thing about a sundress is women who've got it all in the right places are, you can still, I call them sundress bottoms and sweater tops. You can still make out just a beautiful, beautiful ass. In a sundress, it just by a touch. There's like 2 points where you just see these rolling hips, and you're just like, oh, you goddess. Oh, bless you. You are just, I just worship the sight. But you know,
There's that. Yeah, Gina Gershon and I probably wouldn't get along, though. I bet you any money we wouldn't get along. Something would happen real quick in the onset, and we just wouldn't get along with each other.
Like, you're voting for Hillary, right? What would you say? Like, if shit's about to go down, but like, and like, literally, you're about to like go in, and she's like, wait, you're voting for Hillary, right?
Wait a second. I'm about to go in. Like, yeah. Okay, so we're about to have sex.
Yeah.
And I'm just about to enter her.
Yeah.
And she says, wait, before. I know this is really hot and we both want this, but before this happens, I need to ask you something. You're voting for Hillary Clinton, right? So she doesn't even say, who are you voting for? She's right off the bat, the premise is, please tell me you're voting for Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, like that's so.
I guess I just have to go, yeah, I'm voting
but
for Hillary.
But you have to, then she's going to be like, all right.
All right, then I have
like
to walk.
You have to take a picture of you in the booth doing the thing.
You got it. I'll take a picture of myself in the voting booth.
But I sell out your country for that?
Well, I wouldn't pull the lever for it for Hillary Clinton. She just wants somebody to take a picture in the booth. Go ahead. All right.
Nah, it's got to be you. You got to be like this, like that, next to the.
First of all, that's illegal.
You'd have to break the law, bro.
Okay, I'll tell her then. Yeah, you got it, Gina. I fully intend to vote for Hillary Clinton. And I will take a picture for you in the booth in November 8th.
With your dick out.
With my dick out. let's just keep this going. Let's see here. Nikki put this in here. Gina for me. Oh my God.
Oh damn.
What year is this from? Hold on a second.
That looks like. Wasn't she in Maxim? Didn't she do a Maxim shoot?
I don't know.
Damn.
She's just so pretty. According to her Twitter, she's a Democrat. Well, if she ever wants to work again, of course. And she was already in Curb Your Enthusiasm for that, I think it was the fourth season. Yeah, that's the other thing. She's in Curb Your Enthusiasm. It was that season that Larry went back to New York to put on the producers for Mel Brooks. And that was also Larry and Cheryl's 10-year anniversary, wedding anniversary. And Cheryl told Larry, you can have, and if it's 10 years, and I promise you 10 years ago, on our 10-year anniversary, you can have sex with another woman. So the entire season was Larry preparing for this this show, this Broadway play, and also trying to get laid. And he's just blowing all of his opportunities with people. One of those people being Gina Gershon, who was a Jewish laundromat owner. And she really liked Larry, and he screwed it up. He screwed up the chance of messing with her because he showed up with, I think, a sheet with a hole cut out in the middle of it. Because she's ascetic or something like that. Ascetic? I don't know.
Well, that's how they, I don't know if that's.
So she's definitely not. And that entire season actually culminated with the joke. He had snagged this blonde lady. I forgot what her name was in the. In the show, but he was pretty much about to have sex with one of his cast members. And it's the final episode. He's in the dressing room. They're making out a little bit, and it looks like it's about to get hot and heavy. He's about to cash in on his anniversary present. And he looks over her shoulder, and on her stand, her makeup stand, was a framed portrait of George W. Bush. And he stops in the middle of making out with her. He goes, wait a second. You're a Republican? And she goes, yes, Larry, I'm a Republican. And he goes, ugh. And that's it. That's it. He never ends up having sex and having it. That's it. So if you think anybody's getting their job in Hollywood and not being a professed Democrat, I can't. I would love to know. Of course, you'd have to be omniscient, an omnipotent
godlike creature to actually know the truth to this one. But I would really like to know who in Hollywood who runs around waving their blue Democrat flag and saying all the right things in front of the cameras actually goes and votes the way that they want to vote. I wonder about that. Because I really do believe that, especially in an industry like Hollywood, where everybody's trying to A, break in and it's near impossible, or B, sustain a career, which is almost nearly impossible, you have got to protect yourself and your chances of working at all costs. So you either need to be apolitical from the onset and never take part in anything, or you just have to go along to get along. It's self-preservation, and that is what living in a tyranny, living under tyranny in an oppressive country is all about. It's all about self-preservation and not letting anything that you think come out in order to give yourself a better chance of surviving. Because a certain way of thinking is going to get you ostracized. Now, it's one thing if you're talking about outside forces of communism coming in and trying to destroy a free nation and steer that into a direction that actually promotes the politicizing of gender and race and sexuality and identity politics, pitting people up against each other, attacking capitalism and the free market and free enterprise, and attacking individual liberty, the right to defend yourself, your country, attacking the federalism in its very core, and destroying the 10th Amendment, and taking government and civics out of education. It's completely different if that is your idea. Because once again, it comes down to this. You can say, "Well, Frank, you know, you talk about how you're very, very free and open." But then again, there is your opinion seems to trump everybody else's beliefs. Like, no, you see, the nuance here that I always try to get through to people is, and I believe that everybody knows. I mean, Bobby G, he knows. Everybody in the chat room that hangs out with us. We know. We hang out together because I think we feel like we can come home a little bit more. But the big thing here is when you are out there saying that your outlook on the world and living life should be one of freedom and liberty, where everybody is able to live the lives that they want, but we all just have to be a little bit more tougher in living with the fact that there are people around us that don't live the same way and don't approve of the way that we live. And if we live with that and we're able to get along either way and just learn how to cope and thicken our skin up, that's real freedom. That's a freedom I don't think some people could even handle anymore. But when you're part of an argument or a movement that says you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't say that, you can't say this, we have to regulate this, we have to limit that, we have to stop this altogether, you can't think that way, that's offensive, and you create that bubble. Even though you believe the ends that you're trying to meet is equality for all, you've created a perfect hell in which you can't even live up to the standards that you've created. You can't do it. So there's either liberal and liberty in practice and in reality, or there is liberalism in just notion and selling points, but it's served up with just tyranny. That's why it's not getting better. I mean, look at this election. Look at the people. Forget about the candidates. Look at the people. God, there's some very, very unhappy people. It's getting worse. There's so much hatred. So much hatred, and it's mostly coming from the people who are supposed to be the antithesis of hatred and love.
You never believe that such a loving bunch could be so fucking angry. How the hell did that happen? Of course, they were never loving. They were never loving. They were just told by smart, powerful people with a lot of political influence and money that you, the common person, has been rooked out of some kind of an opportunity and you have been made into a victim. That's it. And they make you angry, and then they tell you that what you're really fighting for is love. Even though they hooked you with anger. Don't you see that? It's gaslighting. Everything is a lie. Oh, great. Now this... Oh, Jesus Christ. I forgot. Every time I upload an episode and Typo Negative's songs go on, the entire episode gets taken off of YouTube. Swear to God. WMG. Unbelievable. Great. So then this is just going to be an audio episode now. Guys, sometime this week I'm going to be starting on YouTube a little bit. I want to get that under my belt and see how that works. So that day, maybe it'll be tomorrow. I don't know. Maybe it'll be Wednesday. Maybe Mondays and Wednesdays. I don't know. But I'll let you guys know. And as far as all my thank yous go, I did all the thank yous before I went live so I can record it in a nice way. It's going to be at the beginning of the episode. And thank you guys so much for joining us tonight. 7:58. I think that's it for me. Tomorrow night we're going to come back. It's going to be a little bit more chill. Have a lot of shit that I didn't do. A lot of it I didn't do. Clinton resets. Toyota. Oh, my God. Toyota hopes its mini robot will be a friend to lonely people.
Robot?
Yeah. To replace babies. We're going to get back to this tomorrow. You talk about robot sex. Robotics are going to be wheeled out. You watch. You watch. Dude, that's the greatest part about this. We're talking about sex robots before. And this is how I know that we are on the right track with this show. It's when these trains of thought come to mind. And then immediately after we talk about them on air, the news headlines show up in support afterwards. Think about this. We were just talking about how government, we made jokes about government subsidized sex dolls so that everybody is not lonely anymore and this and that. And we're going to combat loneliness and PTSD, even though we're just making people more reclusive and more fucked up and detached from reality and humanity as it is. Here's Toyota. Palm-sized Kirobo Mini speaks with a baby voice and is small enough to be taken anywhere with its owner. Look at this thing. Weird. It's like the next level of Tamagotchi. A robot has been unveiled by Japanese car maker Toyota that could provide companionship for lonely people. Does that sound familiar, everybody? The Kirobo Mini may even have a role as a baby substitute in Japan, where falling birth rates have left many women childless. So we're going to give them robots? Instead of procreating? The doe-eyed robot is just 4 inches tall, speaks in high-pitched baby voice, and will go on sale in Japan for £300.
We should
we'll talk about this a little bit more tomorrow. Well, in any case, everybody, have a great night. Hope you all feel well. See you tomorrow, and be good.